Welcome back to Quest to the Core, where we explore what it means to lead from the inside out. Every conversation we have is rooted in self-awareness, reflection, and the intentional pursuit of growth, not just as leaders, but as humans. I'm Jonna.
And I'm Simone. Today we're diving into something deceptively simple, but incredibly powerful. That is asking questions, not just any questions, but the kind that provoke insight, open up dialogue, and unlock deeper thinking for ourselves and for those around us.
We often think of leadership as being about having the answers, making decisions, solving problems, knowing what to do. But what if leadership is about creating the space for answers to actually show up?
Asking thought-provoking questions is really a leader's access to creating that space. This requires a shift from being answer giver to question asker. This is why our episode today is called The Questions That Shape Us. Today, we're exploring the art and impact of asking better questions.
And as we were preparing, I thought of a quote, and it's been attributed to a number of different people. But as individuals and as leaders, we don't have to have the answer to ask great questions. So great questions get me excited. One of the things that I love to do is to answer a question with a question, but that really does take that shift from knowing the answer or wanting to give the answer, wanting to solve the problem, to truly getting into and embracing that inquiry, that curiosity to ask questions.
A mistake that a lot of leaders and parents make is thinking that they have to have the answer. And we don't have to have the answers. We don't have to come with all of the solutions. We just need to, you know, help create this space so that the answers can show up when people get promoted to a new job, or new parents just really worry about how am I going to do this because I don't know. And they worry about what they don't know rather than just being comfortable in let's go find that answer.
Well, and oftentimes people are like, oh, I'm going to ask a stupid question. And I'm like, hold up, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Now, there are better questions. There are questions that are better than others. Mm-hmm. But truly, the questions that get us into trouble are the questions that are not asked. I'm sure we both can share stories or examples of times where we encountered situations where after the fact, we were like, I wish I would have asked this question from the beginning because it could have saved a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. I don't know about you.
I'm trained as a coach. To get certified, they're really listening for, are you asking questions that are going to evoke awareness in other people? There's no wrong answer, really. It's, is it a powerful and thoughtful question for that moment that you're in? And I see a lot of managers and leaders, they have their go-to questions, and that's all the questions they ever ask. And while it may produce something in that initial conversation, it doesn't produce that quality of thought that they think that they're doing.
Absolutely. And I think for us to reflect upon the type of questions we are asking, do those questions create that stage for discovery? Do those questions actually create thinking? Even to the point of creative thinking, we want people to look at situations differently. We want people to look at it from a different perspective, and we can guide people through asking the right types of questions.
It's mental engagement. We want the curiosity. Are you mentally engaging in this moment? Are you just coming with your solution? So how can you make that shift from having answers to standing in or creating the space for or being curious or creating inquiry for other people? And it's a big transformation to go from I'm the answer giver to I'm the question asker. A lot of leaders just really don't understand the value of that because their identity is wrapped up in having an answer or the answer. And I don't know if they recognize how much that damages a relationship. Mm-hmm. There's a relationship between the amount and type of questions your manager asks you or your parent asks you and the level of trust that is created and that safety that is created. You know, if a manager comes in all fast with, I've got all of these answers, here's an answer to each of these things, and then at the end asks, well, what do you think? Do you agree? They're asking a question.
They are asking a question.
It's not a thought not a thought-provoking question. And they don't necessarily recognize that's a distancing type of a maneuver with as a parent or as a manager as well. Referring a lot to the parenting things here, but because I think that as a parent, I got much better at asking questions.
Same. A lot of times when my kids ask me a question, I will answer with a question. Or what I will do is if they ask me a question, I will answer the exact question that is asked, which then all opens up a whole nother world to teaching us how to ask better questions. Because if they ask a question, I answer the question that they asked, they're like, but that's not what I asked. And I'm like, no, that's exactly what you asked. That was not the information you were seeking. Mm-hmm. So we need to ask the question a little bit differently to get the information that we're trying to seek. So parenting is a great leadership training tool.
Within the realm of questions, it's almost the better space.
Absolutely.
Because employees will attempt to answer the question they think you're asking. I think this is what they want to know or what they want to hear. So they spend a lot of time and angst trying to give the right answer, not thoughtfully think about the situation. But a kid is, you ask them a yes or no question, you're going to get yes or no. That's it.
Absolutely.
They're not going to say, you know, mom really wants this other info. I'm going to offer that. I just chuckled when you said you asked the question answered. You know, when I interview people, that's one of the measures. Did they answer the question that I asked or that was asked? And when I've done interview panels with people, and that's one of my feedback at the end, someone on the panel may think a candidate was great. They talked a lot and had good energy, but they didn't answer the questions that I asked or that the person asked that thought that they were great. So listening for whether or not someone answered the question that you asked really starts with deliberately thinking about the question you want answered.
That's the key there, is making sure that the information that you're trying to capture or extract or get someone thinking in a certain direction, it's how we ask the question, what are those specific words inside, and being intentional about the questions that we're asking. Mm-hmm. I know in the past coaching an individual leader who was like, I ask questions all the time. And as I started to observing the questions that they were asking, realizing that every question they asked was a leading question, which then guided to specific ideas with getting direction. So their team took it as a directive as opposed to questioning anything that was, but the individual, the leader was like, I'm asking questions. Mm-hmm. And it's being able to reframe that and really think about what are the questions that you're asking and what is the information that you're trying to extract.
I see that as trying to gain alignment or agreement with what you're saying or what I'm trying to say. If I'm asking leading questions, I'm trying to gain agreement, or the managers that I see that do that, they're trying to gain agreement because they have a predetermined idea of how something should go or something is going, and they're trying to make it a team or a collaborative approach. I love the attempt, and I love the idea of it, because they have it on a list somewhere that, hey, I need to ask better questions. There is value in stepping back and really being willing, like getting into the openness part of the core, really being willing to look at what are other people's perceptions of the questions I'm asking? Just to stop and ask that. you know, that might be a great tool for a manager to ask from the one-on-ones they have or the staff meetings they have is, what's coming up for you when I ask questions? Or even, what questions have I not asked? Because they'll then say, hey, you didn't ask this. And let me give you the information to that. Because there's burning information they still want to give, but they are in that dance of, I need to answer the question that my boss asked.
Yes, for sure. And research time and time again shows us that leaders who ask meaningful questions, those powerful questions with intention, creates an environment of reflective practice. So people come to meetings, come to collaboration sessions with better questions themselves. And that just in itself stimulates innovation within the team. It, you know, curiosity and creativity surfaces, and it bridges that gap between what they know and what we need to find out given the state of the organization, given the state of the current environment, and really creating that connectiveness for inclusivity for a team to where that vulnerability where people can bring up things through questions and sparks additional ideas.
And I think that vulnerability is on both sides. So the vulnerability of the manager who thinks that they're supposed to know the answers to come in and ask, what ideas do you have for this particular problem? They may think that they are not doing their job, but being vulnerable to say, hey, I don't know, I want input. There's a big trust building factor in that, to show that type of vulnerability. And I think there's another slice to that of being confident enough to know that, yeah, I don't know, but we as a group are going to solve the problem. Like really coming with that confidence that this problem can be solved. So there's this whole area of a confident vulnerability. If you go in totally vulnerable, throwing your hands up saying, I don't know what we're doing and who has any ideas, that's not very confident, and you may hurt that trust with your team because then they're afraid that, well, he or she doesn't know what we're doing. You know, oh my goodness, we're in trouble.
We're doomed. So, yeah,
we're doomed.
We're doomed.
Questions really can help shape how a person sees themselves, or how a manager sees an employee, or how the employees will see the manager, or how a parent sees a child and child sees a parent. Questions that help to build that confidence, I think, are super important, not just drive compliance. If you're having them be part of the solution, they're going to be more confident in it. If you're just looking for that agreement, saying, well, here's my ideas, do you think it's a good idea? That's driving a compliance type of a followership, but you can really help shape that person's identity as an employee, being a confident employee, by shifting how your questions can show up.
To sum it up, like, what makes a good question? You've touched on something that's very important, is that a good question, or a great question actually, creates empowerment. Empowerment for the other person. We don't want to ask a question that decreases that confidence or disempowers somebody. So asking those reflective, open-ended questions then sets the stage or the environment for that culture of empowerment, really does create a opportunity for those to be more confident in the questions that they ask and ultimately the type of questions that they ask.
Well, it even ties to our last episode or two episodes ago, the zone of optimal learning, where the confusion piece of it, and then encouraging employees to ask questions. There's different types of questions they're going to ask inside of that zone versus elsewhere, and really shaping that will really help them be more confident and empowered to then own what the problem is, own the project, and ultimately deliver a much more powerful solution than they potentially would have if they were just complying and following the first idea that their manager came up with.
for us as leaders, or even as individuals and parents, as we are having those conversations with those around us, taking time to reflect on the types of questions that we're asking, as well as the type of interactions and the experience that we're creating with the other person, that's going to help us recognize the type of questions that we're asking and if we need to make adjustment. Because sometimes we think we're asking great questions, but in the moment, we feel like we're getting the information we need. And then afterwards, we kind of reflect upon it and we're like, well, did that really accomplish what I set out to accomplish? And we need to take the time to do that.
Do you have an example on your that you were thinking about as you were saying that?
Well, I was just thinking about parenting.
Yeah.
Parenting is always a great opportunity to think about question asking. One of the funny situations that I think about, especially with Aiden, obviously, is I will answer his question with a question, and I can tell when he's not in the space to be pushed to be creative, and he will say, "Mom, can you please stop playing psychologist on me?" And, you know, as an individual, right, as a parent, even as a leader, being able to recognize, is that other person in that space, mm-hmm. to be able to go down that journey of discovery. So then it's like, okay, when is the right time to ask these questions? We don't want to break anybody by going, oh my gosh, here we go. There's another question being asked, right? And you know, that's an important part too, mm-hmm. of the reflection piece, is that we have to make sure that the other person is in the space to receive the question, mm-hmm. asking.
You've got to be present with the person. You have to be over there with them and not just over here with you, always, you know, capitalizing on every learning opportunity you can for your kid or for your employee. It's the what's going on over there, and is it okay to dive into this now? And if I have and they're not ready, do I back off?
Well, I do think, right, it's a balance, and mm-hmm. we're all obviously learning that balance even as we go. And for you and I, asking questions, sometimes we're really good at it and sometimes mm-hmm. not so much, because we're driven by the curiosity or the learner or the, you know, information gatherer or whatever it is. But I will say, having a couple of individuals that I have led, we've had conversations and obviously asking questions throughout there. And then at the end of the conversation, they're like, "You were just coaching me, weren't you?" And knowing that it didn't come across as, okay, now we're having a coaching conversation, it's more of organic inside of, and allowing them to go through that discovery allowed me to take a step back and reflect upon, okay, what did I do differently in that situation than I've done in other situations where it does come across as like, okay, we're having a coaching conversation. So I think it's ever evolving, and sometimes we're really good at it and sometimes not so much.
For me, that difference is how present am I? And who am I for that person right now? And when I'm not being as present, I do naturally will go into a coach mode, and there's a tone I'm sure that my voice gets, and I can almost visibly see it either on an employee or on my daughter's face. And it's like, I see it. And so my message to myself is they don't want that right now. They're not ready for it right now. And if I'm present enough, I can shift, but if I'm not, then I won't shift. And I may go down a path that they're not necessarily willing to go down. But the flip side, I do have employees and even former employees who will call me and say, "I need a space to think right now. Can you help me think through this?" And they're wanting the types of questions I may ask or shape the conversation, because the thoughtful questions help them think through their space totally differently, because they're in the middle and they can't see anything differently. And what I think is just a tremendous win for them is that they see that they need to see it differently, and they want to go find a space that's going to help them do that. And which I think is tremendous insight for people being willing to look at that for themselves and even reflect on their current situation of what's happening in my situation.
And that's a definitely a level of self-awareness that is important to have as we are encountering situations or wanting to grow, is being able to have the self-awareness to say, hey, I need to look at this differently. I need to be asked questions that are different questions than I'm thinking of. And we can take something from that, knowing that when we encounter a situation that we're struggling with, or we encounter a problem or a situation that it just seems like it keeps surfacing and we've exhausted all of our question asking, that when we have created that environment of people who are around us to ask questions, then we are able to go to someone as well and ask those questions, mm-hmm. so that we get a different perspective for sure.
Well, you know, Jonna, we set the stage for, you know, asking better questions and the value of having better questions. So then what's next for our listeners with this? How do they develop that muscle around asking more thoughtful and better questions?
That's a great question.
Thank you very much.
So initially, powerful questions start with those open-ended questions. Open-ended questions really provoke the brain to start working and hopefully taking in different information or looking at it from a different perspective. We don't want to ask those closed-ended questions, because then we are stifling the thinking. We are stifling the opportunity for growth.
Sometimes the closed-ended are helpful to initiate a conversation, to get a conversation started. But you can't just stop at that. It's got to go into something more open. I know I really, really enjoyed picking up my daughter from school every day. And the question is, how was your day? Very close-ended. And you get nothing from the kids with that. It was fine. But the questions I asked or got into the habit of asking was, what was your favorite part of the day? What was something that you didn't like from today? And I would get this whole other stream of consciousness and thought from her that I loved it, because it was fresh right after school. There was so much energy in it. And it was her processing, her reflecting on the day of the things that had happened through the day. And it gave me a tremendous view into her thinking, how she was thinking. It gave me a view into her values and her beliefs and how they were shaping as a human, and not just inheriting what my values and my beliefs were, but really how she was shaping them and what the influences were. And just having that type of conversation, I saw this person and this identity being developed, so that I really see this connection that really does apply to employees as well, is that we can actually help a person develop their own identity through the types of questions that we're asking, and really listening for, you know, what are their values, listening for what are their beliefs, and what type of thinker that they are.
Well, and I think for me, understanding that asking the same question to different people, you're going to get different responses. Because for me, with Aiden, asked what was your favorite part of the day, and it was always lunch and recess. That was the answer, because of school was not always exciting. I had to come up with different questions in order to provoke that same type, mm-hmm. of thinking, in order to get him to think about his day of, you know, going through of, okay, who did you help today? Having him think about those interactions or the positive things that he had, and even the challenges that he had. But again, those specific questions are going to land differently with different people. So knowing those individuals around you and being able to ask the types of questions that's going to spark is key.
For the managers that have, who are my favorite questions to always ask in an interview, this is a strong argument or strong caution against going in with that approach, really having different questions. As you were talking, it brought up for me one thing that I do often in staff meetings when we're introducing a new idea, a new concept, or perhaps a new strategy. And that is to put the strategy or the description of whatever it is we're talking about up on a screen. Then I'll read it out loud and ask, What did you hear? I'll tell them beforehand. I'll say, I'm about to read this out loud. Follow along with me. Don't follow along with me. Just listen. But I'm going to ask at the end what came up for you or what you heard. The people who are out loud thinkers responded right away. Then I would do it again. So I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to ask the same question. And what that did, I felt, was that it got people more connected to the words, whether it was a strategy or a mission statement or even a job description. I've done that with some job descriptions with team formation. And it got people really related to what those words were. Because when you think about it, when a group is defining a mission statement or defining core values or defining a job description, they take time with the words. They're very deliberate about the words that they put into that written document. And we don't spend enough time socializing that written document with employees or with the organization. And so doing that exercise with a team helps them to own the words that are on that page, because it's different for every person. Mm-hmm. They're reading it differently. And then when the person sitting next to you shares what they read or shares the word that stands out for them and why that word stands out, then the context of what's on the screen shifts for me. Like, I'm sitting next to a person and their words helped to shift the context for me. And then when I read it again, I've got that new context laid on to it and I'm hearing it differently. Then there might be another word that stands out for me. And it's a little odd for employees when I first do that, but I think it has the team coalesce around that document as a formation document and as a center pole to go back to when they're dealing with challenges within their day-to-day work. It brings them back to what they need to align to.
I think you're not only creating a great tool for the alignment, but setting the stage for creating that environment of openness to ask questions. So you're modeling that behavior that you want mm-hmm. them to do as individuals and collectively as colleagues, but by creating the space where they can ask questions, that they are encouraged to bring up what is surfacing for them, then you are setting the stage for that discovery.
That's a great point, because if people don't feel safe asking questions, they're not going to.
And there's some people who naturally feel like they can share their opinion regardless of wherever they're at. Then there are others who really need to feel invited to participate mm-hmm. in the conversation. And by asking questions, by encouraging questions, and even mm-hmm. asking the team to come to the meeting with all the questions, there are powerful questions, you know, having that as part of the agenda item to say, come with your questions on this particular topic, creates that environment and hopefully creates the safe space for people to feel vulnerable to ask the questions.
In a couple of the articles that we read to prepare for our conversation today, there were two things that really stood out with what you were saying. One was a manager asked employees to come to their performance review with the best question they asked last year. So out with their customers or their clients or in the function of their job, what was a question you were really proud of asking? Which I think is brilliant.
Because we don't think
about
that.
I know, we don't think about that. And then the second part was having question storming sessions versus brainstorming sessions. Because brainstorming, you're coming up with solutions. Mm-hmm. When you think back to our Beyond the Thought track, the about the different types of thinking, simply doing that one act of brainstorming shortcuts that any thinking process that you have, because you're coming up with answers. Bravo, you have a list of possible. So excellent. That's great. Brainstorming will give you a list of possible rather than just one. But question storming, I think, just opens up this whole other world of what questions do we have about this thing, about this problem, or about this activity we're supposed to do or produce. And just thinking about what you don't know yet so that you can then go out and get the answers, to those questions, I think, is brilliant in strengthening what a possible solution can be. So after I read that, I decided that I'm going to add those two into a regular course of action for me, because they're just the possibilities, I think, of what that could produce from an energy and engagement perspective for the team, and just making it a safe space to be able to ask questions.
I look at it as a muscle, right? The more that we do it, the better we get at it, the more, the better questions we can ask, the more that we reflect upon the types of questions we ask. And the question storming made me think of, and I don't know if you've read Questions Are the Answer by Gregerson, I believe is the last name. And great framework inside there. It has a very similar tool, question burst, which is just coming up with as many questions as you possibly can. But it's that structured process that's not really brainstorming, but you can brainstorming with questions that starts to help create that culture of asking questions. I think the other thing that surfaced for me reading the different articles as we were preparing, and we probably could do a whole nother episode on this, but it did come up with like the emotional aspect of asking questions, I think is so important for us to remember and consider, because sometimes questions do spark an emotional response, and we have to be aware and be looking for, and maybe even have to address those emotions before you actually get to the root of being able to get an answer to the question that you're asking.
I didn't even pick that up at all in the question, in the article. I just glossed over them. So yeah, share with me a little bit more about what was in there about this.
So what surfaced for me is when I think about, you know, asking good questions or asking better questions, you know, obviously the opposite of that is, you know, those closed-ended questions usually shut off a conversation, or asking those why questions, which automatically makes people become defensive. Mm-hmm. And we as humans, we want to protect who we are and what we do. When somebody asks us why we did something, we are not thinking creatively. We are not thinking with curiosity. We are on the defensive, and we are making sure that we give every reason as to why we did what we did or made the decision that we made. And so that emotional component to questions, I think, is important for us, and that we have to consider it as humans. Every decision we make, really every thought we have, has an underlying emotional connection to it. And so emotions definitely are something that we can't ignore.
If as the question asker, I've got that tone of, and I'm saying why, and I've got frustration. If I know that I'm frustrated and I'm asking questions, it's tough to interrupt that. And I think one potential way to interrupt that is to stop and ask yourself, am I being curious?
That's powerful.
It's tough to stay frustrated when you're curious. And when you're shouting at your kid and why'd you do this, or you're frustrated with an employee because of an outcome or a delay or whatever. And it's hard to keep that frustration back. And you're frustrated because you already have an answer in your head. So the questions are irrelevant. You don't need to ask a question. The answer, you've already preformed an answer. And a way to cut that frustration down is just to ask yourself, am I being curious? Or what should I be curious about right now?
To me, that's a very powerful question. Mm-hmm. And I think if anybody is going to take a question to have as a pocket question, that is a great pocket question.
It's a good pocket reflection question. Yeah. What should I be curious about right now? That would be useful in a lot of situations, even when you're in the middle of somebody assigning you a new project and you have no idea where to go with it. Just ask yourself, what should I be curious about right now?
Or if you're encountering difficulty with a relationship.
Yes.
What should I be curious about right now? As we wrap up our time together today, what key insights for you, Simone, are you taking away from this conversation?
I'd say I have two. The first one is If you want thoughtful responses, you need to ask thoughtful questions. So the quality of our questions really does shape the quality of our leadership. And the second one is really ask questions that build confidence, not just compliance. So ask those questions that are going to shape someone's identity, not just asking for insight. What about you, Jana?
I loved it when you talk about being present. Better questions really do require us to be present, not about being perfect or having the right thing to say, but really just about being in that moment with the other person. And then the second thing, for me, better questions create better thinking. Questions create that opportunity for us to think better, but then also to help those around us think better. And as I think about it, it really starts with the kind of questions that we're willing to ask, because questions that are open, honest, and grounded in curiosity not only impress, but lead to discovery.
So as you step into this week, we invite you to ask yourself, what is one powerful question I can ask that will make someone feel seen, stretched, or supported?
Because when we ask better questions, you do more than guide a conversation. You really do shape a culture.
For our next episode, we will focus on feedback. Tune in to wherever you listen to your podcasts. And as always, you can also access all episodes and additional resources on our website, www.questtothecore.com. And that is 2 with the number 2. So please press follow for your podcast app today so that you'll get notification of our next podcast drop. And a very special thanks to Grammy-recognized number one hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. Please go to our website to reference his information and the leadership workshops that he facilitates using the activity of writing a song.
And until next time, lead with questions, not assumptions. Create space for others to think and stay committed to the quest inward, because that is where better leadership begins.